Amen. Amen. We will not move. Amen. We will not move. We will not be shaken. Amen. Amen. That's right. Praise God. Well, turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus. Father God, I thank you for this night, and I thank you for this time that we get to spend together with your word. I thank you for the worship that we went through. I thank you for the word that has already been spoken. Father, we here tonight know that the Holy Spirit is moving, and we can feel your presence, Lord, and we just welcome it in. We welcome your word, we welcome your teaching, we welcome your presence, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your word is true. Your word is strength. Your word is power, Father God. We stand here and we believe in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. 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 I'm going to move this. Well, God is good. And all the time, God is good. Amen. I think what has already been spoken tonight leads into perfectly what we're going to be talking about tonight. In Exodus chapter 3, I'm sure most of us know this chapter. Amen? Praise God. The burning bush. Amen. The burning bush. You know, when I read this story, and you know what, I read this on Sunday, and it got me stirring, and you know, I was in the middle of studying for another topic, and that day, Sunday, when you were talking about Exodus and Moses, we were reading a certain aspect of it, and the Lord told me, don't stop, I got something for you to read. Don't stop reading. Keep going. I got something for you to share on Wednesday. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I kept reading. Amen. You know, when we think of Moses, you know, oftentimes we think of the mighty guy, right? A mighty guy. I do, at least I do. I think of a big, burly guy that doesn't run away. That's what I think about. Because of the good things that has been done through Moses. Amen. I see a mighty man of God on a mountain holding 10 commandments, right? Holding stones up, right? And stones aren't light, right? So I feel that Moses was a big guy, you know. Or maybe you think of Moses with an image of a rod, right? In front of the sea, and it parts. What a mighty man of God. What a mighty man of God. When I think of Moses, and I was reading Moses, I feel that he embodies the Christian that I need to be to let the power of God move through me. Amen. But we are reading chapter 3 of Exodus, and the Lord told me, read on. Read on from the burning bush. Why? Because I think we forget that Moses didn't start out that way. Moses didn't start out that mighty, mighty man. He didn't start out that way. The man who was raised in royalty, adopted by a family, right? Because he was close to being murdered. Raised in the finest schools, trained with the best arts and skills. He had respect in the kingdom. Yet, some reason he knew he was different. Something on the inside of him knew he was not fitting in right. Amen. And praise the Lord for that. Because he looked different. On the inside, he had a different purpose than the people around him. He knew of his heritage, and it was different from the people that he was living with. Amen. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. If we know the Moses, in verse 1 and 2, one day Moses was tending a flock in his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. And there an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in the flames, he didn't burn up. Moses was shocked. Moses was in shock. He was in amazement. I don't know about you or I, if we were to go up to D Hill and see one of those mesquite bushes burning, but yet it's not being consumed, we might feel the same way. Whoa, what is happening here? Our eyes would be like, some of us would get our phones out and, right? Take those pictures. Some of us would get on the phone and be, hey, you got to come to D Hill. Look at this, look at this, look what's going on. Look at the window, look at D Hill. Some of us would just be like this.
Drool coming down.
In amazement. In amazement. He was shocked. Verse 5 says, don't come any closer, the Lord said. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. Because of the presence of the Lord was there. We read along farther. It says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Verse 7, then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt, and I have heard their cries and distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I'm aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile, spacious land. Into the land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. Verse 9, look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. And verse 10, now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must, this is to Moses, you must lead my people out of Israel. God calls Moses into a deliverance ministry here to deliver the Israelites out of the hand of Egypt. Amen? He is calling Moses into this ministry. Amen? There's a calling on Moses' life. Whether he likes it or not, God made that bush burn. God made him be in that right place at the right time to see that bush burn. And in his amazement, he went up to that bush and heard God's voice. Amen? I kind of feel like it's this way. I might be way over here, and I'm not hearing God's voice. I'm just doing my own little thing, right? All of a sudden, I see something. Whoa, what's happening over there, right? Or I hear something. What's happening over there? You get where I'm going. Whoa, that perks up my fancy here. Let me go see what that's all about. And as I get closer, now I hear the word of the Lord. Now I hear the voice. As I get closer, now I hear the voice. It's like this. If Mal were to say something to me from over here, I may not hear exactly what he's saying, but I heard something. So what do I got to do? What did Moses have to do? He had to go check it out. Hey, you say something? What are you trying to tell me? What's going on? Now, as I get up here, now I'm closer to the presence of God. I'm closer to Mauro. Now I can hear what he's trying to tell me. As he got closer, he heard the voice of God. As he got closer to that bush, he heard what God wanted him to do. Amen? As he got closer to God, he heard what God wanted him to do. Amen? So it's not until he got close to God that he knew what kind of ministry he was getting into. It's not until he got close to God, till he heard God's calling on his life. And then he had a decision to make. God's got me on something here for the past 6 months. It's about decisions. I know I talked about it a couple weeks ago, but it's about choices. But we're never going to get into that. Verse 11. But Moses protested God. God says, hey, I called you over here because I want to tell you something. I want to tell you that I want you to lead my people Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage. Moses said, no, I don't want to. He says here, but Moses protested God. So Moses came up with some excuses. Amen? How many of us use excuses? You don't have to really answer. Verse 11 says, but Moses protested God. Who am I to go before Pharaoh? Now, mind you, this man grew up with Pharaoh. And he says, who am I to go up to Pharaoh? I think he forgot something. He also says, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? Moses asked the question, who am I? Moses didn't know who he was. Moses didn't know what he had on the inside. Moses didn't know what was going on. So he questioned God and said, hey, I think you're wrong, God. Who am I to do this stuff you asked me to do? Who am I? Moses struggled with his identity. He didn't feel qualified. God handpicked Moses. He handpicked him for the job that he wanted to do. You know, what's it say in Jeremiah 29:11? For God has the plans for you, right? That was for Moses, right? God had a plan for Moses, a specific plan for Moses. Moses struggled with his identity. He didn't know, or he didn't remember, or he didn't realize that he was qualified. He thought that God had picked the wrong person. I think many of us can relate to that even today. Even if we're in ministry, I think there are some things that we feel like, oh, you know what? I'm not sure I'm qualified for that. I'm not sure I'm supposed to be doing that, God. And we protest God about it. I think there's a lot of better people who can do that. I'm there. I've been there. And I'm not going to lie, I might be there again. Because there are certain things that come across your plate, come across your lives, that you might say, first of all, hey, you know what? I'm not sure I'm supposed to do that. Am I hearing you right, Lord? Excuse me, say that again. Do this, go there. Be that to that person. Be this to that person. Give this to that person. Lead these people. Don't lead these people. Do this, do that, right? We might struggle then with our identity, fully understanding who we are. We struggle with that. I know I struggle with that sometimes, being a father. Am I a good father? Am I supposed to be this kind of a father? Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Actually, no. I don't want to get off on rabbit trails. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to read verse 11 again. But Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? God answered him. He said, I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Israel, you will worship God at this very mountain. Verse 13. But Moses protested again. He protested. He said, but if I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, well, what's his name? Then what should I tell them? God replied to Moses again, said, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations. Verse 16, now go and call together all the elders of Israel. Tell them, Yahweh, God of your ancestors, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me. He told me, I have been watching closely, and I see how the Egyptians are treating you. I have promised to rescue you from your oppression in Egypt. I will lead you to the land of flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. The elders of Israel will accept your message. Then you and the elders must go to king of Egypt and tell them, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. So please, let us take 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to our Lord. But I know that the God of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand forces him. So I will raise my hand and strike the Egyptians, performing all kinds of miracles among them. Then at last he will let you go. And I will cause the Egyptians to look favorably on you. They will give you gifts when you go, so you will not leave empty-handed. Every Israelite woman will ask of articles of silver and gold and fine clothing from her Egyptian neighbors and from the foreign women in their houses. You will dress your sons and daughters with these, stripping the Egyptians of their wealth. This is stopped there, though. Chapter 4, but Moses protested again. Even after God said, I'm with you, even after God said all these things, even after God promised everything, Moses said, no. He said, what if they don't believe me or listen to me? What if they say, the Lord never appeared to you? Then the Lord asked him, what is in your hand? What is in your hand? He said, a shepherd's staff. Throw it on the ground. So Moses threw it on the ground, and it turned into a snake. Moses jumped back. You see here again, something amazing happened in front of Moses. But it made him, whoo. Just like the burning bush made him, whoa. The snake also, whoa. Then the Lord told him, reach out and grab its tail. So Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it turned back into the shepherd's staff in his hand. Perform this sign, the Lord told him. Then they will believe that the Lord, the God of his ancestors, and God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has really appeared to you. Then the Lord said to Moses, now put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out again, the hand was white as snow with a severe skin disease. Now put your hand back in your cloak. And the Lord said, so Moses put his hand back in. And when he took it back out, it was healthy as the rest of his body. The Lord said to Moses, if they don't believe you and are not convinced by the first miracle sign, then they will be convinced by the second sign. And if they don't believe you or listen to you even after those signs, then take some water from the Nile and pour it into the dry ground, and when you do, the water from the Nile will turn to blood on the ground. Even after all this, the next verse says this, but Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I've never been. I'm not even now, even though you've spoken to me. I get tongue-tied. My words get tangled. Even after all of what God has done, even after God has all told him, even after all this stuff that God has done in his life, in front of him, what he's seen, what he's heard, Moses still said, I'm not the guy. I believe that many of us could put ourselves in Moses' position. We've seen things, we've heard things, we've been through things, and yet still when God asks us to do something, we say, not me, Lord. Send someone else. I'm not good at that. I've never been good at that, so I can't be that. Then the Lord said this, who makes your mouth? Who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or don't speak? Hear or do not hear? See or do not see? Is it not I? Now go, and I'll be with you as you speak, and I'll instruct you in what you say. Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send someone else. Then the Lord became angry with Moses. All right. You're still going to go, but I'm going to send somebody with you, right? That's how the story goes. Moses struggled with his identity, not knowing who he was, and not really fully understanding what he was capable of. I believe that's where most of us Christians struggle, is we don't fully know the power on the inside. Either we don't fully know, or we don't care enough to fully use it. If I know I have a Lamborghini outside, am I not going to drive it? Oh, I'm going to drive it. If we know that we have the power of God on the inside, should we not use it? As we always said, sound like Moses. As we have said for many weeks, we believe we're in a specific time. I truly believe that if we truly know who we are in Christ, there's going to be more action, more healing, more strongholds broken down, more miracles, more revelation, more everything, because we truly have it on the inside. We truly believe. Moses knew God was real. He was talking to him. Moses knew God was asking him to do something. He was talking to him. We know as Christians, we talk to God. We pray, we have conversations with God. So we know God is talking to us. But what are we doing about it? We could be like Moses. Lord, I'm not good at that. I can't do it. God says to you, it's okay. I'll be with you. And when I'm with you, this is going to happen. Lord, I can't speak very well. Who makes your tongue? Who makes your tongue to speak? I made your tongue. I'll help you speak. Second Corinthians. Now let's go there. Amen. Amen. Second Corinthians. You see, I believe that Moses, before the burning bush, didn't know really who he was on the inside. And so when I'm trying to relate New Testament and Old Testament and see where Jesus fits in the Old Testament, see how that all works, right? Moses was one way. He was this way. And then God came to him, and then he was changed. Why? He knew something else. Something got a hold of him on the inside. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, and the old life has gone, and a new life has begun. God had got into Moses by the burning bush. God had got into Moses by conversation with him, and he was a new man. He was a new man. For us, this today, I believe this scripture. I'm going to read it again. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, and the old life has gone and new has begun. The worst nightmare to the devil is that you will discover what is fully inside of you. The worst nightmare of the devil is shaking in his boots. His knees are shaking because you have figured out, you have fully believed everything that's on the inside of you. The power of God on the inside has nothing The power of God on the inside has nothing to fear. The power of God on the inside of you has nothing to fear. God asked Moses to lead millions of people out of bondage. The power on the inside has no fear. Hell's worst nightmare is that we as a community, we as a body, wake up and say, I'm more powerful than you. That I have more power than Satan. Satan might think he is the powerful one of this earth, only if we let him. Only if we let him. Only if we tell ourselves, you're right, I'm not good enough. You're right, I can't do things. You're right, I'm not supposed to do that. You're right. That's where Satan has the power over you, but the power on the inside is greater. Amen. We as a people have to wake up and understand these things, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That I can, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. When we wake up to those realities, nothing can stop us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. I am more than a conqueror. I am not bound, but I am free. When we wake up to this stuff, when we wake up to the truth and the reality of the Lord, then nothing can stop us. Then what God asked you to do, it will be done because you have the power to do it. Jeremiah 29:11, we talked about it earlier. For the plans I have for you, says the Lord, declares the Lord, plans to prosper and not to harm, plans to prosper, plans to make your life better, right? Plans to put you in a position to where your life is better, right? To give you hope for a future. Who are we in Christ? Moses had to answer the question, who am I? Who am I? I am powerful in the Lord. I am mighty in the Lord. I am more than a conqueror in the Lord. He had to wake up to that realization and say, yes, I can do it. Yes, I can lead those people. Yes, I can go to front of Pharaoh and plead the case. Yes, I can speak to the people. Yes, they will listen. He had to wake up to the realization that the power on the inside was greater than whatever's on the outside. He had to wake up. He had to realize. We're not that different from him. I'm not that different from him. When I read that stuff, I'm not different from him. I can see God has asked me to do something, but I stop, I resist, I plead the case. God, no, I don't want to do it. But then God keeps saying, you're going to do it. I'm going to be with you. But I don't really feel like I want to do that. It's okay. I'll bring somebody else along to help you along the way, but you're going to do it anyway. Okay. I realize that God is greater in me. I realize that I have more power than out here. I realize that I have influence because the greater is in me than the greater is in the world. We have to wake up to who we are. We have to wake up to who we are and the plans that God has for us. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you. What are we called to do? What was Moses called to do? Moses was called that he should go to Pharaoh and set the captives free. What are you called to do? What has God told you to do? Are you called to be a father? Are you called to be a mother? Are you called to be a man or a woman of God? All of those. Are you called to be a husband? Are you called to be a wife? Before you were born in your mother's womb, he ordained you to be a prophet. That means he ordained you to go out, preach the word. He gave you that power on the inside. When we accept that Christ lives in us, and when we accept that the power of Christ is inside of us, then we know that we have the power over what's in the world, and he has ordained us to walk in that power. He has ordained us to go through the world and into the world and walk in that power. That's ordained for you to do. All through the word, it says, I'll be with you. You go, right? You go. You go do this. God says, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do this through you. You're going to go. I'll be with you. You're going to do. I'll be with you. God answered Moses in verse 12, Exodus 3. He said, I'll be with you. It's okay. I'll be with you. I just love the story of Moses. I'm going to go back to it. I got notes. I don't even know where I'm going. I'm just going to go by the Holy Spirit. Here we go. You see, in Exodus 3, Moses protested God, and God tried to coax him into it, right? Or tried to tell him that it's okay, right? Because he handpicked Moses to do what he wanted to do. He handpicked you to do what you're supposed to do. He handpicked you to do what you're supposed to do. He didn't handpick me to do what you're supposed to do. Now, maybe he handpicked me to help you or somebody to help you, like Aaron helped Moses. But Moses was the one who was supposed to lead the people out of Israel. He was handpicked to do it. And you know what? He did it. He did it. Took a while, but he did it. He did it. Even with all the grumbling, all the protesting he did to God, he still did it. And God didn't let up. He didn't let up. No, he didn't change his mind. He said, Moses, I pick you to lead the people out of Israel. Moses said, no, how many different times? But God still said, you are going to do it. I handpicked you to do it. Amen. Praise God. In chapter 4, Exodus chapter 4, before we get there, Moses, I believe, didn't answer properly or didn't fully buy in or didn't fully go because he didn't know God well enough. And that's just me looking into it. He didn't really know God well enough. He didn't have that intimacy, that relationship. He didn't know God well enough to describe him to the Israelites. We might say if God asked you to go describe God to somebody else, oh, we got the list of names of God. We got all this. We got all this. We got the textbook version of what God is, right? Or what his names are. We could probably say he's El Shaddai. He's all the different ones, right? A Prince of Peace. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, right? Moses didn't really have that at that point in time. So he lacked that intimacy. He lacked that relationship. He didn't know God well enough. He lacked the conviction on the inside to be able to go and spread the word about what God can do. So God told him, Moses, hey, I am the am. I am. I am the am. I am. You know, just say that I am sent you. Okay. I am the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. My name is forever. They could recognize with the God of Abraham, the Isaac, Jacob, because those were all ancestors, their heritage. They could recognize with that. And so could Moses. Because after that, I'm sure Moses then started to say, well, maybe I can do this. But what has to happen, we know, to go out is that the anointing, right? We talk about the anointing. God handpicked Moses to do a job, puts the anointing onto Moses. The anointing, we know, is the supernatural power of God operating through the natural to produce results that to us seem impossible. When the anointing falls, when the power of God falls, things that we might think impossible become possible. And in verse chapter 4, through the first few verses, God asks, what's that in your hand? A staff. Okay, all right. Check out what my anointing can do. Here, throw that stick down. Guess what it's going to do? It's going to turn into a snake. All right? That's the power I got. When God gets in something, there's change. We need to ask God to get in our staff, to get in our stick. We need to ask God in this time. As Eric said, the wicked are getting wickeder. Is that what you said? Something like that? If that's possible. Right? So we need to get God in our stick. We need to get God in our staff. We need to get God in our songs, in our praise, in our worship. We need to get God in our preaching, God in our marriage, God in our nation. We need to put God everywhere. Because where God is, then there is change. Amen. Put God in our gift. Stop relying on yourself. That's what Moses was trying to do. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. Instead of relying on God to make the change. When God gets in a thing, it's not the same. We can look at our own lives. When God got in, it ain't the same. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. When God gets in a thing, it can scare some people. It can. They see things they've never seen before. Moses never seen a staff change into a snake. Whoa! But then he grabbed it. But then he got hold of it. You see? Moses didn't understand. And then what happens? God said, you're like, what's in your hand? Throw it down. Whoa, it's a snake. But then God said, pick it up. Pick it up. Go after it. Do it. Do something. And guess what it did? Changed back into the staff. If you read on, get God into a rock and it causes the river to flow. Right? Which quenched the thirst of, 3 million Israelites? Get God on a donkey and it causes it to speak. Get God on an axe head of an iron and it causes it to swim up to the top of the water so the prophet could reach out his hand and take hold of it. Get God in a little pot of oil and it causes it to multiply and meet every need and be abundant overflow. So you get God in a box and they called it the Ark of the Covenant. You put God in something and it changes what it is. They placed that box where? In the Holy of Holies. The most holy place was inside, covered with gold, and from the outside, it was covered in a tabernacle that originally was made of badger skin or skin of some kind of animal. No one would know by looking at the tabernacle that something so powerful and so awesome was on the inside of that tabernacle. Today, we, you, me, are the tabernacle of the power of God. Covered by skin, but on the inside is the power of God. We are the temples of God. Get God in you, and you ain't going to be the same. Get God in you, as the rock got God into that rock, made water for millions of people. You put God into a situation, into you, into a situation, it changes. When we stop and we think that we're going to change a situation just by human being means, we become like Moses. I can't do this. I can't handle this. I can't go through a situation. I can't believe this is happening. This is crazy. I don't know what's going on. But if we stop to understand the power that's on the inside, then it flows out of us and it feeds a multitude. Yes. Amen? Yes. 2 Corinthians. I just got a couple more scriptures. It might take another hour. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing a great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves." Whatever's out there can't stop God. Can't stop us. We got a God on the inside. You can't stop us. I hope we get that. There's so much evil in the world. We're called to go out and fix it. We're called to go out and preach and teach the gospel and teach the word and teach that you got the power living on the inside of you that can change your life for the better because he has plans for you to prosper for good and not for evil. We're called to go teach that to people, to show that love to people. Why? So they can get God on the inside of them and be just as powerful in their life, with their family, with their circumstances, with their situations. And then what they can do is take that light and take that power and bring it into their situation. And when God is in a situation, nothing has more power than that. Nothing. Nothing has more power than that. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm just going to reread the last scripture we read, and then we're going to end it there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. We, and I want you to repeat after me. I'm going to put I in there. And I want you to say this out loud. I now have this light shining in my heart. But I am like a fragile clay jar containing a great treasure. This makes it clear that my power is from God and not myself. This makes us have the realization that on the inside, I have the power from God to flow through us into a situation to make it better, to go to our calling, to do what we're called to do, to be who we're called to be, not in ourselves, but in the power of God. A rock is not called to give water, But God can make it give water. Amen? Amen? Amen. So tonight, I just hope we get the realization that God on the inside is more powerful than anything on the outside. The realization that you can do something rather than sit there and say, I'm not good at it. I can't do it. I can't speak. I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. That's stinking thinking. Good smelling thinking is that I am, I can, I have, I'm doing. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Let's stand. Let's pray a little bit. Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. That's power. Thank you, Lord, for the power that you've given to us through your Son. Thank you, Father, for the Spirit realizing it and making it true within us. That in you all things are possible. That in you we have no lack. That in you there is no bad situation. In you all situations can be taken down and corrected. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, I bless these people here. In your name, the power on the inside. Flow out, ever increasing, feeding the multitudes, correcting situations, shining the light to the people around them. Oh, Father, allow them to use their light, use their gift, use their power for the calling that you put on their life. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for your power and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Thank you all for being here tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Have a blessed week. Have a good week. Tomorrow, right? There's a trip. No? Put off till next week. Okay, never mind. All right. And we'll see you on Sunday. God bless you. Love you. Praise God. Amen.